Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to House Plans. Glad you could be with us today talking a little real estate. We need some questions today. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, the phone lines are open and ready to roll. Give us a call, 866-442-7553, or you can always hit us up on the text line at 71307. That's 71307. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage in the house, and Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker. What's happening, guys?
Good morning.
Staying busy.
Everybody's
yes.
busy.
Yes. Busy is the word.
I know JD was networking yesterday.
I was networking,
Did
yes.
Did you play?
I networked.
It was a good day.
Keith, networking.
How's the renovation? Is the golf course in good shape?
Great shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. They've done a great job. They're not done yet, but it's really...
It's improvement. Big improvement.
It is, yeah.
Good.
It is. So, yeah, it was... we are still remaining... As Chris likes to say, the kettle is
the pressure
rattling.
Cooker, the little thing on the top, you know, it's rattling, which is always fun for me and JD. It makes us smile, but it makes everybody else a little crazy.
It does make us smile, and it does make them crazy. You're
well,
exactly
listen,
right.
I'd rather be busy. It's like I tell people, I call people, you know, I'll say, how's it going? They'll say, oh, I'm busy. And I'll say, well, if you're going to have a problem, that's a win you won't.
Yes.
I mean,
it's like Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. You know, pressure and time will do a lot to an individual. Right now, we got a lot of pressure and not much time.
Not much time. That's right. But we're grateful for it. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's kind of weird what's been going on in the market. And, you know, the stocks took a beating this week. And then, but the bonds kind of leveled out toward the end. I think at one point we were at, I don't know the absolute bottom because I don't watch it that way, but we were at 1.6 on the 10-year treasury. And I think it ended up closing. I can check my phone.
Glass
you
know, you floor. Got
that. I think it ended up closing somewhere around 170 for the week. Hold on, I'm looking.
Well, I think
1.734 for the week, mm-hmm. which is, you know, not where it was earlier.
No.
And so it looks like it stabilized just a little bit, so the rates may hold, which is, of course, what everybody would hope, you know, because you need them to kind of trickle down versus gradually fall. And then, yep. of course, to JD's point, if you were to do a spread, you know, here's the 10-year treasury, here's the 30-year fixed rate, that spread is wider than normal because there are rates that the investors just won't go to.
Yeah, that's right. And I think we're kind of bumping up on that a little bit right now. It's I was telling you guys before we started the show, I quoted my first 3 3/8 30-year fix. Now, that was a perfect storm of over 80%, large loan, great score, paying some points. You know, that kind of thing. But
now, is that the lowest ever? Was there that one?
That's pretty close. I mean, we are bumping up on that glass floor, as I call it.
I remember there were a few days at some point.
Maybe 3.25, but it was, you know, paying a point and some of that kind of stuff.
And you know, it's like, I think I told you guys this. I was listening to a seminar, and one of it was about rates. You know, and it was talking about when a customer says, I want the lowest possible rate, this guy said, I always reply, in history?
Yeah.
And then because the truth of the matter is, I mean, you get it, you just have to pay for it. And yep. then it's a math equation to figure out whether it's a good idea to pay for it or a bad idea to pay for it. And, well, of course, Keith, how many times have you heard this? This is my forever house. I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
And then how many times they call you 2 years later and say, we're putting this thing on the market?
How about 6 months? But usually when they do, this is what they say, guess what?
Yeah.
That's the words they use.
Yeah, guess what?
They call me. I hadn't heard from them in a while. They say, guess what? I know what that means.
And you know they're either having a baby or twins.
Yeah, usually in our market, usually it's a relocation.
Yeah.
In my
yeah.
personal business, usually yeah. associated with a corporate relocation. Now, having said that... there's more optimism in the market right now than maybe in my entire career.
Yes, and when you go to paying points, I think, you know, a lot of there's a lot of lenders out there that go, okay. And then when we're doing a customized mortgage solution, the conversation is, well, wait a minute. Let's talk about what that math is. You're going to pay, what are points, prepaid finance charge? You're going to pay me $3,800 today to save $9.12 a month over the next 84 months or the next 108 months. Are you really sure you want to do that?
And the probability of it being that long is probably slim to none.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Because most people do things every 5 to 6 years.
That's right.
I mean, that's what
we
see.
That's right.
Hey, JD, I need to build a new bedroom. Hey, JD, I need to pay for college.
I know people are listening to the show because I had five people this week want cash out to refi. They've been listening to Keith borrow as much as you can.
Get all you can get.
Yes. That's right.
Keith people Cart. Are listening. So anyway, we're heading to our first break. You're listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We'll be back right after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's the phone number to reach us here on House Plans, 866-442-7553. That's 866-442-7553. The text line is open as well at 71307. It's been a very popular feature the last few weeks. Just text 71307 with your question about buying and selling, anything to do with real estate. And, of course, we've talked a lot about the low rates and that kind of thing. But, Keith, you brought up something in the first segment that I thought was very true. Is there is a lot of confidence in the real estate market that's out there right now. And I know you found an article that sort of proved our theory in regards to that confidence.
I did. And this particular survey was from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac looking, and they drill down deep into what's happening. The big organizations have the resources and the smart guys to be able to really drill down into to know what's happening in the future. A lot of times we don't know, but they
sure
already know what's happening. And this particular article was discussing the confidence that people have. And what occurs to me, first let's say the article says that the
customer sentiment is
the highest it's ever been. Americans, in the title of the article was Americans have never felt this good about real estate. And what occurs to me is when you think back to 2004, 5, 6, 7, in my career, in the 30 years I've been in the business, that was the peak time frame when confidence was so high. Now, I think the confidence was a little bit different. In those days, I think it was more about speculating on real estate and making money in the short term. And I think today people don't view their real estate investment. Now, the investors do, of course,
sure,
to some degree, but I think they view the long haul more than the short haul. In that particular time period, we were all dreaming of big numbers, you know,
sure,
buy anything
and
make real money on it.
And to your point, people with money were buying things on Monday and selling them on Friday and making money.
Yes.
You know, so that was a little unusual. And then, of course, the access to credit was so great because of the low threshold to do 100% loan. I mean, you know, are you breathing and can you sign? Then you can buy. And that's not the way it is today. And so I found that article, you know, particularly interesting because, you know, that is talking about Fannie and Freddie. And one of the things that happened this week is on August 1st, the FHA, HUD came out and said, listen, we used to allow 85% cash out. So if you own your property and you want to take cash out, we're going to give you an opportunity to take 85% of the value out. And they said, we're concerned about values I found that very interesting, which is, you know, the opposite yes. of the sentiment. And we're going to now lower that number to 80. And so that would yeah. I found that to be very unusual, because I feel what that article says, the market is, and I understand the market's different everywhere, but I think it's hot. People are excited. People feel good about getting into the game based on rates, based on, you know, that
Don't
kind of stuff.
Don't forget about the jobs. People
sure.
are
yeah.
confident. Part of that confidence comes
that paycheck
from that, from their personal experience, both at their jobs and what they see around them, their friends. And people are being paid more right now.
Yeah,
sure.
Their
wages are going up.
Trump's kind of doing his job, isn't he?
Yeah, don't give Trump.
Well, nobody's texted or called. I figure that might get us going.
That ought to light him up.
Yeah. Well, we do have a first text of the day. It's, I am refinancing my home to a lower rate, and what do I do with a low appraisal that missed items about the home? Does the appraiser come back to redo?
So, that's a great question,
yeah,
actually.
It's a great question, but it's different. So if we were doing a purchase transaction, and let's say Keith was the listing agent, usually he's on the buyer side, but we would go back to Keith as the listing agent and say, tell us what comparables you used. Tell us what we missed. You know, here's what the appraiser says. Well, in this case, those people aren't involved, and Keith has a lot of access to a lot of data. So in a refinance situation, you need to go back to your lender. First of all, you need a copy of the appraisal. You need to review the appraisal, and then you need to comment back to your lender, here are the items that we missed. Now, there's also some if the square footage is off by 100 square feet, don't do that, because they won't
exactly.
care.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, if it's 100 square feet, more or less, they won't care. If you have
four bedrooms instead of three bedrooms.
That matters.
Yeah.
If you have no screens on your windows, or screens on your windows and you didn't have screens, that's not going to matter.
Right.
And then, of course, Keith, you and I and JD have always talked about, well, I have that next level kitchen. I spent $45,000 on the appliances instead of $15,000, a lot of times that won't show up in an appraisal.
It won't. And, Chris, you're talking about the specifics of it. The very first thing I would do is look at a higher-level picture. And the first thing I look at would be the comps themselves, proximity to the subject, and are they the same type of construction? Because
sure.
when you get a cut appraisal, more than likely, it's not about the small things. It's about the big things.
Could be.
Is the property a different type of property?
Sure.
And what is its proximity to the subject property? And can you find better comps? So appraisers have their own methodology. And I don't, Chris, you can probably speak to this. I don't know whether a typical refi appraisal is a little bit different than a purchase appraisal.
It should basically be the same thing, Keith. The only difference is the appraiser doesn't have a contract that tells them what everybody else thinks it's worth.
Yes. And my instincts tell me that that's probably going to generate a more conservative appraisal if there's no
yes.
arm's length transaction involved in the number.
True.
Or the target number.
But I will say this. It does happen where an appraiser will make a mistake. I mean, they're human. And sometimes you can go back. We use software to provide us with comparables before we ever even order. And so a lot of times we can go back through and go, well, why didn't he use this one, or why didn't he use this one? And we would do what we would call an appraisal appeal. And then that appeal, we would submit data to the appraiser to review it. And sometimes we're successful. I mean, it depends on how much you know, when you're doing it. And the more specific you can be, and the more value you can bring in those comps and that appeal, the more likely you are to get a change.
And the comparables are the ones, that's the biggest thing, are the comparables.
Yeah.
You know, because typically I see, like you said, Chris, 100 square feet here or there, you know, number of bedrooms, number of baths, basement square footage, you know, that's always a big deal.
Yes.
You know, some people look at it as, I had a house this week where appraiser 2 years ago considered a split level basement or did not consider it basement. And then the next guy went in, considered it basement, made a
yes.
huge deal on the value.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So, you know, it's a lot of times it's those kind of things, too. So you just
and my guess is that the appraisers are just like everybody else. How backed up are they? How busy they sure. are? How quickly can I get to this? Yes. And how much time do I put into it?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, all listen, right. we have Robert on the phone wanting to talk a little bit about appraisal. So good morning, Robert. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning to all of you. Just touching the subject on appraisals, 6 cases this week, crazy differences, anything came below $20,000, $21,000, $30,000 below the upon agreed price. So I was wondering, and one of them is new construction.
Sure.
Only $15,000 below.
I will tell you that and nobody wants to hear this, but I'll tell the truth here. 6 times out of 10, you are going to have a low appraisal on a construction loan if you're not prepared and provide significant data up front to everybody involved.
Yeah.
That seems, because, okay, what are the builders right now, Keith? Busy, right?
All of them.
And so what do they do when they're busy?
They price it up.
Yeah, because they want to do the cherries.
Increase the price.
Yeah, and we're not talking about, way up, but we're talking about up. And
well,
so,
as far as the market will allow them. They consider appraisals, by the way. It's always in the back of their mind, but not in the front of their mind.
Yeah, true.
But, Robert, I will say that in my experience, if I'm doing one that has a construction or new construction, it has a much higher likelihood to have a cut appraisal. And, we were just recently doing a deal with a production builder, and our appraisal came in 9,000 light, and they immediately fired their appraisal across the bow and said, we had it appraised before we put it under contract. Look at this. Mm-hmm. And so they were ready.
Yeah.
But I would say it's not unusual. And then, of course, you also get into that area. The higher you move up on the scale of the type of home you're doing, the more likely you are to find unusual or high-end upgrades that don't always show up. Keith, you just recently did a deal up in Spartanburg, I think it was, and this house had every upgrade. It was to the nth degree.
Yep.
And so it makes that appraisal
kind
of challenging.
From day one, we were all worried about the appraisal from the very beginning. Fortunately, there were some good comps.
Yes.
Yeah.
The pricing was where it should be. But at first glance, there's concern about
it. You walked through the house and you were like,
Chris, really, it's one of the first things I think about.
Yeah.
The water, where the water's going, the roof, the HVAC,
yeah.
and will it appraise?
Yeah.
No reason to look. Take a second.
That's a great place to start. Yeah. Right.
So, Robert, were you successful in appealing some of those, or do you?
No, everything happened. Everything happened in a week. I haven't had the chance.
Well, what have you been doing?
Yeah.
I got 6 this week. I fixed all 6 of mine. I'm just kidding. I will tell you, and of course, you're very experienced, so you know this. The first thing that we always do is go back to the listing agent and say, hey, where did you get this number? And then we just hope they don't say, well, that's what the seller said. And then we start looking for data. And once we start...
Believe it or not, we don't like low appraisals.
No, we don't want that either. But we have seen recently that we've gotten some movement by providing it. One of the other things that a lot of people miss is if your comps are old in a very strong market, and I'm talking about 6 months old, there is sometimes the opportunity to do a time adjustment based on the current market conditions, that can have an impact.
Up to 3%.
Yeah, and so a lot of people won't ask that question, so I'll ask the appraiser. I said, it looks like these two comparables are 8 months old. Is there any opportunity or is there any need for a time value adjustment as it relates to these? And, that's up to them. But I've had them say, yes, there is. And I've had them say, no, there's not, because in this particular market, there's not a lot of sales. The other thing is, if you have a situation where it's cut and there is a big difference in condition or quality, like that particular appraisal I was talking about with you, Keith, you just have to make sure that you provide that information to the appraiser so that he knows.
And I'll give you a little strategy that many of us use is to actually have the data in the house before the appraiser arrives. So if you want to make sure the appraiser has all the information, then go ahead and print the comps, print a list of upgrades, features, differences in the subject property that you think should be recognized, lay it out there on the dining room table or the kitchen island, and so the appraiser has that information.
Yes.
And I think appraisers respect and prefer that you are providing that up front so that they don't chase it around.
Yeah,
it
absolutely
helps them to have that data in front of them.
Yeah. Well, I will say the other thing, too, is I've seen people just pay the difference.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you've got somebody buying $300 and they're putting $100 down and the appraisal comes in at $285, it's not going to impact the loan.
Right.
I mean, now, whether they want to do that or not is a decision they should have with their buyer's agent, because y'all need to figure out and they need to get comfortable.
Yeah, y'all making me nervous over here.
You know, Keith's not interested in paying more than they're appraised for.
That's right. Yeah.
But sometimes they do it,
that's right.
It's the right thing to do.
Well, Robert, hey, we appreciate the call. We're heading into our bottom of the hour break, bud.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right, talk to you later. Listen, you're listening to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Well, that's the other thing. Now you practice, you know.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker talking a little real estate today.
Appreciate Robert calling in. I think
we got some good to talk about. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, 866-442-7553. Or if you want to text us, 71307, that's 71307. We'd love to hear from you. So we were continuing the conversation during the break about the situation that Robert talked about. And so JD brought a live situation to the table that made Keith's hair stand on end. So we have a customer up in Tennessee, and they're buying a lake property, and the appraisal came in, what was it,
35 grand light.
$35,000 light.
Yeah.
So we reviewed it, we looked at it, we studied it, we looked for comps, the whole nine yards. And we think the appraiser is correct. I mean, we feel like that's the right number. And then the second part of that is that JD was talking to the loan officer, and then the loan officer said, well, there's only one agent involved. The listing agent is representing everybody. And JD said, no. And so I wanted Keith to talk about that a little bit. So there's the listing agent is also working with the buyers, but who are they representing, Keith?
Well, it depends. I don't know the agency laws in South Carolina, but if you're working in South Carolina, then we have certain types of agency relationships that not only you can practice, but you must disclose at the earliest substantive conversation. And so what we're talking about is who represents whom. Who's operating in whom's best interest.
Right.
And, of course, we think it's one of the 10 fatal mistakes that consumers make, not understanding who their agent is, who they represent, what their duties are inside the real estate transaction. And so in this particular case, my guess is it was probably dual agency.
Sure.
There's a single agent involved, and in theory – and technically, they're representing both parties. Now, people like myself just don't believe you can do that. We think that's an oxymoron, representing both parties.
Sure. The seller wants the most possible money, and the buyer wants to pay the least amount of money. How can you represent both sides of that?
That's right. And we have last year in well, was it 2000, beginning of 2018, South Carolina changed the agency laws, and we have an option now where you can work with two parties and not represent either party,
okay.
What we call transaction brokerage.
Yeah, so you're just making sure that everything's right, but not representing.
Well, you have some duties.
Right.
Okay? You have limited confidentiality. You have ministerial duties that require that you be honest and that you not disclose the things mm-hmm. that you know and that that should be properly disclosed. But you can receive a fee and not represent either party.
Right.
So it just depends on, in that case, it depends on who is representing whom.
Right.
And really, the consumer should know that at the very beginning of the process.
Yeah, it should be disclosed.
Not only disclosed, what
but
we would
clearly
call
defined.
Informed consent.
Yes.
That's right, where not only did you disclose it, but they understood what you disclosed.
Yeah, and our recommendation has always been you need somebody who's representing just you and your interest, a qualified buyer's agent, you know, who's gonna help you. And we would say the same thing to a for sale by owner. You need to have a listing agent that's going to represent you. It's well worth the money that you pay to get it.
Yeah. Buyer's brokerism number 412 says, if you know what I'm getting ready to say, if my fee,
yeah, if I can't earn my fee in a real estate transaction,
it.
I don't need one.
Yeah,
okay?
That's right.
I don't deserve it
that's
if
right.
I can't earn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, having said that, we do believe that every buyer should be represented. Now, philosophically, a seller has less challenges, right? You put the property on the market, you negotiate a deal, you get your money, and you leave, and you won't see that buyer again.
Okay? You hope.
But that buyer gives you his $200,000.
Right.
And they own that property. And
that's
if
right.
the roof leaks the next day, it's theirs.
That's exactly yeah. right.
Now, I say that with the caveat that my colleagues, they listen to me and then they want to correct me after the show. They'll send me a text and say, I don't know if you said that right. But what I was getting ready to say was that even though you're representing the buyer, the seller takes that money, they leave, and they even when they leave, if they're, let's say, locally, they have to disclose it, and it has to be something that they knew or, listen to this,
should have known.
That's right.
Yep.
So ignorance is not always a defense.
Sure.
And one of the probably biggest mistake people make is basement flooding,
yes.
you know, where it might not have been disclosed. Those are fatal mistakes in a real estate transaction.
Sure.
If you get...
And I want to jump back to what Robert was talking about. Robert Ortega, our buddy up in realtor up in real estate agent up in Spartanburg, he said, you know, I had four or five this week. I think it goes back to one of the things you say, Keith, is you need that team of professionals because, you know, I can't tell you how a big box in the sky is going to handle that. I can't tell you if they even care. What I can tell you is the way it works at County Bank is, you know, I get an email or the loan officer gets an email, and if it's something simple that they can solve, hey, I called, there's 500 square feet that you missed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not what the last appraisal said, then I don't get involved. But otherwise, I get involved. And if you are working with us as a real estate agent and you feel like there may be some particular challenge going in up front, I can tell you what Keith said is very true. Where's the water going? And then the next thing is, you know, is it in a flood zone? Is it going to appraise?
Right.
And many times I will be forewarned by Keith that this may be a challenge, and we'll start collecting data right then.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes we're surprised it comes in on the number. But if it doesn't come in on the number, we already have our bank of data that we're ready to go back with to support what we're talking about. And I have... you know, we have a group of appraisers that we work with forever, and we don't work with people that are unreasonable.
Right.
But now they don't do what we say either. That's not how it works.
That's right.
I mean, because you can't do that. But what happens is you have a conversation and say, well, tell me about this one, and this one. And, you know, the agent on that real estate deal that we were talking about up in Tennessee on the lake, the five comps that the agent pulled, the listing agent pulled to support the higher value, were all on the other side of the lake. And the appraiser commented, as the crow flies, they're 2 miles away. But where the bridge is, it's a 25-minute drive. Those are not the same markets.
Yeah. And what in that particular case, Chris, when you were Chris was drawing a diagram during the break about where they are, I can tell you without any additional information that that was that premium that they put on that substandard property was based on what they considered a premium lot.
Yes.
How that lot sits on the lake
yes.
versus the access. And that premium may very well be there in terms of the market, but on paper it's not there.
Yes.
And so of course, the appraiser cannot justify it, even though the market
that's
may.
That's correct. Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
And of course, distance is not always the most important because, you know, if it's a mile away, but it takes you 45 minutes to get there because you get to drive 20 miles south, 20 miles east, and 20 miles west, you know, that, I mean, that's a whole different market. You know, it's one of the things when you get into more densely populated areas, you'll hear an underwriter go, wait a minute, you crossed a major highway here.
Right.
Yes.
Is that the same market? So we've had, you know, in our way, way past, we've had people who were underwriting for us in New Jersey call us and go, well, this is on
Garlington Road.
This is on one side of Garlington Road, and this is on the other. Are you in the same market, JD?
Yeah, that's right.
And the
right.
answer's like, yeah, it's all the same.
Street by street, neighborhood by neighborhood.
That's right.
Yeah, correct. All right, well, listen, we're going to head into our final break of the show. The phone lines are still open, so we'd love to hear from you today. 866-442-7553. And, of course, the text line is open as well. We've had one text and one call, so we're going to give everybody a quick chance here. About 13 minutes left in the show. 71307 is a text line. You're listening to House Plans. We'll be back after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
That's it, 866-442-7553, and 71307 is a text line. So 71307, shoot us a text about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate. I just learned buyer's broker is on number 897.
Yeah, we'll keep that to ourselves, okay?
I'm not
that's
sharing
a
that
secret.
One.
Some things you
I'm not saying, did I say that? I just said I learned it. I didn't say I was going to share it.
Well, I think the important thing is that you're represented by somebody who knows what they're doing. And that the story you told, Keith, the thing that I think about is your buyers had clearly defined goals and objectives, and you knew what they were.
That's right.
And you were prepared for that when you went to look at a house.
And at that point, you know, my objective for my client is always for them to reach the point where they can evaluate property just like me. So that's my goal. It's the reason I spend a lot of time trying to educate them up front. But the point is, they should be able to look at that property, know exactly that it fits their goals and objectives just as well as I do. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be trying to convince them. They need to
know it.
When they see it, they need to know it. They need to know the numbers. They need to be prepared. And when it's time to pull the trigger, then you don't have even the first time buyers, you know, when they make an offer on a house, they'll go home and get sick physically ill.
Right.
If you've never purchased a property.
I just agreed to spend $288,000.
Yeah. Did I make the right decision?
Yeah, sure.
They're up at night.
Is that bathroom really big enough?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so typically referred to as buyer's remorse. I don't know if I exactly agree with the term, but
right.
But without that confidence in what they're doing, then they're never going to feel good.
I would call it buyer's anxiety.
Well, I'll go along with that.
Because it's not always remorse. It's sometimes it's just, is this really what I thought? We got a great question for you, Keith. Text line question that says, hey, just curious in your opinion, purchasing a house all cash, do you get a discount?
Do you get a discount?
Is there a discount?
Discount for cash.
The short answer is no. Okay. But there may be, you may get preferred treatment by the seller if your offer is cash and you're competing with someone that's not cash. You may get preferred. Now, my duty as a buyer's agent would be to prepare the offer in such a way that I neutralize the opponent's cash. Cash can benefit you.
Now, cash does not mean definite close.
No, that's right. And I was just getting ready to say. Yeah. The appraisal contingency, we always put an appraisal contingency in the contract, regardless of whether it's cash
or not.
Yeah. No, it needs to appraise. But the short answer is no, you don't receive now, you might receive preferential treatment on pricing if you, let's say, you want a quick close.
Yeah, right? I mean, you oftentimes will see that on the...
A byproduct of cash could be a quick
close. In 7 days.
Yeah. So, but the short answer is typically you would not.
But would you also agree, Keith, that that is just like everything in real estate, market by market?
House by house.
House by house. So yeah.
Seller by seller in this case.
So in a competitive situation, let's assume that the party has a listing agent and, you know, you get that where you got one cash offer, you know, it's a desirable house. So you get one cash offer. You get one FHA offer, one VA offer, and a conventional offer all on the same day. It is very true that the people with financing may lose, because if I had that situation and they were all about the same number, cash first, conventional second, right, VA third, FHA last. You know,
right.
And it's because that tells you a lot about the buyer, the quality of it. It doesn't mean that they're not pre-qualified, but Keith, we all know that a VA appraisal is a lot different than a conventional appraisal. An FHA appraisal is a lot different than a conventional appraisal. While they all look for safety and soundness issues, there are literal written guidelines, I mean very specific guidelines about what a FHA and a VA appraiser have to do.
You know,
and so they may find something. You know, chipping paint on an outbuilding is going to be a problem on a FHA. Yeah.
And, you know, Chris, appraisers, investors rely on the ability to close quickly without contingencies.
Yes.
So some of the investors who are listening right now might say, nah, Keith, that's not true, that my cash is king. Cash
yes.
is king.
Sure.
And it does make a difference. But I would tell you that in most instances, it's more about the contingencies and the quick close than it is about the cash itself.
Yeah.
And in fact, most investors, they may write that offer as a cash deal, but they're really using a line of credit, right?
Yeah,
right,
sure.
Right,
so
right.
Most of them are drawing on a line of credit.
Sure.
I don't know many investors who operate from cash for real. Now, they may have a liquid line of credit that serves as cash, but their funds to close would typically be a line of credit.
Yeah, so we got a follow-up, I think a text from Robert saying, you know, on one of the appraisals that he was talking about, Keith, he said that the value came in $17,000 less than the tax value. And so I think that's also an interesting question, is how much weight do you put on the tax value? You know, and I would imagine that in most situations, especially since we have point of sale in the state of South Carolina, you know, if that property sold at the top of the market, the county will use that number.
Yeah.
And then what's happened since then may not have anything to do with that tax value. So I never put a lot of weight on it.
Right
way
are very little.
Tax value is about as reliable as Zillow.
That's right. Yeah. In fact, I would tell you it's one of the biggest mistakes that the consumer makes when they're discussing real estate, because you can go to any county in the United States and look at the assessor's website and get the tax assessed value of the property. And 90% of the time, it has no relationship really to the fair market value.
Oftentimes, it's way under.
Yes. And some on occasion, it's above.
Yes.
Yeah.
But generally, you know, I would say generally, when I look at it, you know, and of course, the other thing it never takes into consideration is condition. You know, if the house, it's not going to take into account square footage and that kind of stuff, but not
And that
the
might
interior.
Not even be right.
Right. That's correct. Yeah. I mean, because to Keith's point, he's made this many times on the show, the builder could turn in X but build Y. Well, the county doesn't come back out and remeasure.
That's right. It's interesting. You know, Spartanburg County has a drawing on their tax. They actually have a footprint. But you still can. I don't put any reliability at all.
Yeah. This is a great question. Another text question. We appreciate all these text questions. This is a good one, and both Chris and Keith, I know, will want to chime in on this because they both have had experience. Do the appraisers take into consideration the seller paid closing costs on a deal? Thus, one of the reasons they get the contract.
Yeah. And so the answer is yes.
Yes.
There is a line on the, I don't know what they officially call the sheet, but I call it page 2, where you're breaking down the comparables and you're making adjustments between the subject property and the 3 comparable properties. And yes, there is a line on there that states whether there were or were not
seller concessions.
Yeah. Yep. And it talks about, you know, so if one particular property was a FHA sale and somebody paid $8,000 in seller concessions and the next 2 comparables were conventional sales and paid none or paid $1,000 or $2,000, that adjustment will show up as compared to how the contract that you have written is.
That's right. Yeah. When you're writing the contract, this is something we've discussed recently, Chris, you and I, about seller's concessions on personal property, putting personal property inside the contract. So typically, window treatments and refrigerator might not affect
the contract. Yeah, if it's attached or typical like a refrigerator.
Right, but if it comes to audiovisual equipment or expensive personal property items, might be the fitness equipment in the basement.
Sure,
you've got to take that out because if it's of any value, substantial value, then they consider it a seller concession.
Yes,
and you might have an appraisal that's cut based on the seller's concession.
Yeah, and so you'll hear it referred to 2 different ways: seller's concession, or you will hear it as an inducement to purchase. And I go back to the downturn, and I remember a property. One in Las Vegas.
If you pay $500,000, there will be an 84 Porsche Carrera still in the driveway.
some things like that would be golf cart.
Yep.
You know, so you're buying in a community.
Country club membership.
Country club. Buying at the lake, and it's fully furnished.
Right.
Ooh, that's going to be fun. You know, because Fannie and Freddie will not allow the inclusion of personal property that's not attached inside. And Keith and I always have the fun discussion about, is this TV that's mounted on the wall, is that attached or not attached?
Yeah,
is the bracket attached and the TV's not, or are they both? And that is something in a down market that you will see. Hey, I'm just going to leave all the stuff in here. You know, well, that has to be considered.
And, of course, the proper thing to do is put all that on a bill of sale.
Yes.
And you can say it for $100 or $10 or whatever, but that's an offline bill of sale for personal property.
Yeah. And, you know, a good one would be there is a difference between a gas grill that is attached to the patio or property and a $3,000 Weber that's on wheels sitting right there. Still a great grill, but that's not attached is considered personal property. And you know, that kind of stuff on a contract will create issues. You know, like up in Oconee, they actually had an addendum to the contract that has all that listed. We're keeping this, we're not keeping that, because it's very typical, because those are second homes or investments for that
customary,
stuff.
Yep.
Customary.
We got about a minute left. You know, another thing that came up, and I'll give props to Roger Nix at Keller Williams. He called me this week on a deal, and it was the seller was paying like $5,000 in closing costs, and there were $3,000 in repairs that the seller had agreed, you know what, I'm just going to give you the money and
I'll give you cash.
I'll just get I'll just give you $8,000 in closing costs instead. And it created, you know, a little restructure, but he made the call and asked, hey, is this gonna be an issue if we go from 5 to 8? You know, many times they'll do the addendum in lieu of the
repairs,
of the floor falling in. Yeah, we're gonna do this.
That won't work.
Does not work, correct.
Yeah, that does not work. And one of the other things when structuring a deal to be very careful is, are you gonna have $8,000? If you're not gonna have $8,000 to use, we get to the table and there are only $5,300. $5,300 is all you can lose. So really, in that case, the buyer lost a little.
Yeah, that's right.
And so you got to be careful. You need to ask those questions up front so your loan officer can help you structure that
deal. Goals, objectives, and
a team of professionals.
Yes, a team of professionals. So, hey, great show, guys. Enjoyed it. Appreciate all our texters and phone calls today. You've been listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. If you've got a question, just shoot me an email at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. We'll talk to you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.